Praise God. Well, I'm going to feed you something different to begin with. It's going to be the Word of God, something that has encouraged me. If you have your Bibles with you, anybody have their Bible with them? All right. Who doesn't? Let's embarrass you. No. All right. Hallelujah. Well, we get the Bible up here, so I don't know how he works that. But I'm looking in the book of Galatians. Hallelujah. And I had a misprint in what I printed out. It's a Galatians 61. I don't think there is a Galatians 61. But it's a Galatians 6, beginning at 1, and reading this to you this day. Thank God. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall ye have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Lord God, we thank you for the inspired word. It is already inspired. I pray, Lord God, that you would quicken our hearts to receive the truth of your engrafted word this day, that we might live it out in our lives, Lord God, and show you, Lord God, that we have been touched by your spirit, Lord God, and touched by what you have given us to do. We thank you this day, Lord, for an opportunity to come and worship before you with those of like precious faith. Bless us this day, Lord God, as we look to you, our author and our finisher of our faith. In Christ's name, amen. So I've entitled this, according to verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so the message today is burden bearing. And I looked up the word of bearing, and the same word that you in the Strong's Concordance for the word bear is used about 23 different times. But I found three specific scriptures that touched my heart with this. And in John 19:7, it said, "And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha." So the word bearing that we are referring to today has the same connotation, or the same bastizo is the word, has the same Greek word used as Christ bearing his cross. And in Luke 14:27, "And whoso doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So it is made contingent on bearing your cross as to following Christ. And then in Matthew 8:17, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Now, it does say bearing, and it does say bear, and bearing your burden, but they are all the same word from the same derivative in Strong's Concordance number 941, baptizo is the Greek word. But it has to do with taking up a burden and placing it on yourself. And so as I began to study this and consider this aspect of burden bearing, it touched me as being one of the most important things in the Christian faith. And I thought about this. Take evangelism compared to burden bearing. And I did make my own little analogy here. Evangelism was something like making babies. And burden bearing is something like cleaning diapers. So in some respects, and just for conversation, evangelism for some, as I say, is like making babies. For the man, it doesn't take much to make a baby. But for the woman, the Bible says that even after she has borne the baby, the pain of the memory of that pain subsides very quickly because of the joy that a child has come into the world. And what I'm trying to point out here is that character is not a key element in making babies. It's a physical thing of making babies. Yes, we want people to be in love and married to make a child because that's the only way the child could grow in a proper manner. Not the only way, but it's the best way for a child to grow in a proper manner. But to make a child, to make a baby, the character of a person doesn't have to be exemplary. Whereas, so I keep on thinking of evangelism. It is done maybe without giving much of yourself. For some people, doesn't make them have an introspective look into their life and their conduct or their spiritual state. But some have no trouble telling another person that they're going to go to hell if they don't accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they just walk off scot-free and feeling that they've fulfilled the Great Commission. They've really not invested it. It's sort of easy to be able to tell somebody the gospel, unfortunately. And that is not for all, but for some. But certainly having a healthy baby or having a Christian, having a person born again, is the bottom line. We want to see Christ would have that all would come to the knowledge of the Savior. And to see a person born into the kingdom is what we are looking to do. But bearing one another's burdens requires a commitment. It's a commitment to a task and looking for the best results to come from this burden bearing, especially when it is done with the injunction that follows this, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, if that is the way that this burden bearing is being done. And so I've equated it to like changing diapers. That is not the joy of all your life. You've heard me say that many times. Who likes to change diapers out there? Nobody likes to change diapers. I thought that's what a woman lived for. No. Of course, changing diapers is not the joy of your life. But it also has to do with getting up at those hours, the wee hours in the morning, to comfort that child. That would be equated to burden bearing. And making certain that this child has the proper food and the proper clothing and it is protected and kept safe. This to me is one, and as the scripture points out, that would be as burden bearing, and we are to bear one another's burdens. At one time, we all were babes in Christ, and many have come along and grown in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So we are growing in Christ. But to bear with the infirmities of the weak is what we have been called to do. Now, I say this to get your attention as far as comparing evangelism with this, because I suppose that either one, whether it be evangelism or burden bearing, can be done mechanically or as duty and not in love. Or they could be done. The Bible says, if a man give his body to be burned and have not love, it doesn't profit him anything. And so evangelism should be done in love, maybe always isn't, and burden bearing obviously needs to be done in love. So the burdens that we are looking to have this day are those in this congregation. I am thinking specifically of this congregation, and not to say we can't bear the burdens of others, but the injunction after bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ is something that really gives credence to a burden bearing. It really makes it effective. It makes it viable. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall win the reward of Christ, for we serve the Lord Christ rather. And so we should always be doing what we do in the name of Jesus Christ. So the law of Christ is a bit different, or much different, totally different than the law of Moses. Because if you didn't follow the law of Moses, you were in jeopardy of losing your life in some instances. Whereas if you fail to follow the Christian injunction to bear one another's burdens, it merely shows that you have not been maturing in the grace and in the knowledge of Christ. You have not matured in the way that Christ would have you mature. Paul said, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. That's what Paul wanted. Even after they had come to Jesus Christ, he wanted Christ to be seen in them and the image of Christ to be seen in them. The law of Christ, which is love, is not an option. It's the ideal. It is the way that we should be living our Christian life. It's not an added feature, but it is certainly the standard by with which we live out and fulfill our Christian life. That is what God would have us to do, to bear one another's burdens in love, and that would be fulfilling the law of Christ. Not a duty by which we either gain salvation or maintain it. It is, we are called to live this life. It is it's the fruit of a tree planted in good ground. If you are a Christian, how many are Christians out there? Believe in Christ. And this is your test. If you are planted in good ground, which Christ is, and you are receiving the nutrients of that planting, then you will be a burden bearer. You will grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. You will show love. And as this says, you will bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, again, which is love. So to truly be a healthy person in Christ, you must be willing and presently doing this burden bearing. Now, the Jews, when this statement was made, and I'm looking at John, just a comparison scripture. In John 13, 34, Christ says, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also would love one another. And it isn't, as I said, as though the Jews had never heard an injunction to love, because in Leviticus 19:18, it said, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for I am the Lord. So they were encouraged to love one another, even as they love themselves. But when Jesus gave this, he said it was a new commandment. And I began to think, how is it new in this sense? And I found two, or maybe you could break the first one into two, or three thoughts about how that this is unique. First of all, anybody ever write a love song out there? Yeah, a couple of you. Well, a love song to me is the person. It is so unique to me. No matter if you find it to be great or not, a love song is written to obviously the object of your affection, and whatever poem or whatever song you write to him or her, it is your own. It is done the first time from you that has expressed your love and devotion to this one. So in looking at with Christ, this is the first time that God Almighty has ever descended from heaven and become a man and loved us in spite of who we are. That is the beauty of this new love. And Christ came down and he would demonstrate the type of love he was speaking of. It said, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And so that it was what one of the aspects of what was new about this new commandment. But the beauty of this new commandment that Christ gave is found in something even more, I can't say more unique than this. It is found in this next aspect of the new commandment. It would be the distinguishing mark of a disciple of Christ. I find that to be beautiful. We are not known by our wealth. We are not known by the way we dress. We are not known by our nationality, by our race. We are not known by any outward trappings that we may take upon. But we Christians are to be known by one thing, how we love one another. I mean, come on. This strikes home. This should strike home to this church, because I'm asking you, have we in all instances and all times expressed this injunction of Christ to love one another, even as I have loved you, to love the brethren? Is that what Christ has called us to do? Yes, it is. He has given us that to show that we are identified with him because we love fellow Christians. In John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Isn't that beautiful? I just find that to be beautiful. And the love that he is mentioning here is to be bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is what Christ is getting at. We should have an unabashed love one for the other. It's not some kind of a syrupy thing that lets people get away with anything. It's a love that we can see that will go the distance, will love so much that it would give its own life for the benefit of others. I dare say we have a way to go before we can stand and say we have loved as Christ has loved. Another scripture that struck me as I was comparing this in Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. This then is the exhortation of those, and it is to those who are strong in the faith. If you consider yourself to be strong in the faith, then you will be a burden bearer. You will be one that loves his brethren. You will bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes when we speak of love, it becomes so, it's almost like vague, and we have nothing really we can get a hold of. But I want today to try and bring forth to you some of the thoughts of how to be a burden bearer, how to bear another's burdens. And I have a few things here, and I'm going to say a few, then I'll say a few more a little later. But the first one that came to me, it would be an encouraging them to continue in the faith. When a new Christian comes to the Lord, you can be assured that the first thing that happened to them is Satan tries to attack their life. I will say that there is a honeymoon period I've noticed in the times of people that come to Christ where everything just seems to be so phenomenal, but then all of a sudden it seems as though the bottom falls out. And these people are challenged by so many things, and the rush of the world comes upon them. Their own lacking in their carnal nature, their flesh comes in and crashes upon them, and they just don't know what to do. This is when we are to be those that encourage one another. And so the first thought I have of bearing one another's burdens is that you need to encourage them to continue in the faith. Paul encouraged them by continuing in the faith. And the second thing that struck me is by correcting them when they sin. Some people have the misconception that love condones everything that anybody does when they come to Christ. And I don't want to be judgmental. I believe that we should be judgmental in the sense that we should judge another person by, are they walking according to the revealed word of God? And if they are not walking according to the revealed word of God, you which are spiritual should correct such an one in the spirit of meekness, lest you yourselves be tempted to be haughty and think that you are more than you really are. So the second thought I have is to be one that does not condone, but one that confronts lovingly. If you can't do it in love, don't do it at all. I don't believe in going up and telling somebody how sinful and rotten they are when I'm really reading them the riot act. That's worse. The person that reads another person's the riot act may leave feeling very good about themselves, but the other person hates them. So they've done worse than try and correct them. They've made a bigger mess than what really should have happened. So it is correcting in love, comforting in love, showing the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, as the Bible says. And that would be some way that you would begin to bear another's burdens. And then by praying for them, that they might be granted strength to turn from sin. There's many people and pastors and preachers that love to talk about prayer. And they can preach the most vibrant, loving sermons, and everybody is bobbing their heads. Amen. Preach it, brother. We should be praying. I got to pray more. And I'll tell you, people leave the church and they never open their mouth in a word of prayer. Or if they do, they shoot one up to God. Or it's a 2-minute, thank you, Lord, and help me this day. God wants you to pray. He wants you to spend time. And he wants you to pray for those that you are bearing burdens for. Hallelujah. There comes a time when people will face trials. They will face temptations. They will face sorrows. This is the time where we need to bear their burdens. We need to reach out to in love to those that are suffering anything that the world, the flesh, or the devil would bring upon them. This is the true expression of Christian love, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, the law of Christ does not condone, it corrects. It does not condemn, it tries to bring healing. I love when 1 Corinthians says, love bears all things. Again, there it is, bearing that burden. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. We as Christians need to have, and I call it an aggressive love. I really don't like syrupy love. I don't like emotional, although I'll cry at most any movie that has some emotion in it. But that's not the kind. I want love that stands, that leaps on the hand grenade in the foxhole. I want a love that's willing to lay down its life for the brethren. That's the kind of aggressive love I'm talking about. One that's willing to live the life of devotion to raise a child, live a life of devotion. To raise a Christian in the things of Christ, willing to bear their burdens. And if they get off step, you help them back in the way. That's the kind of love that Christ is talking about. One that would lay down its life. Now, to me, there are some prerequisites to burden bearing. And the first one I have is that obviously you must either know the person or know the situation that they are in before you can ever bear their burden. Doesn't that make sense? You gotta know who they are. And you gotta be a person with a heart that is tender to receive those things. And I love this in one scripture, and I've said this many times, a little bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. And be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Whenever I have a dilemma as to how to deal with a person, I want to deal with them even as Christ has dealt with me. Amen? You're kind of weak here today. You need that food, don't you? You're waiting for that food out there. No, listen to me. You'll eat in a minute. No, not a minute. And so that's what I want to be the criteria of my response to people. It hasn't always been. I, like you, have failed many times in not responding in Christian love and in Christian grace. But I nevertheless am speaking the ideal, and it's what I want to do. Does anybody ever say, Lord God, I know I've sinned, but I don't want to? I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin ever again in my life. Ever, ever. I want to make no provision for the flesh. I really, truly mean this, but I don't always live up to it. I'm not justifying myself in this, and I'm not justifying you either. But I am showing you that there's a standard to come up to. And if you at least have a desire to get to that place, you're on a good path in the things of God. But so the prerequisite is to get to know the person or to know what their problem is. So I want to put the first things first here. So you got to know the person. Know their situation. This comes from contact and fellowship. This again is why I put so much credence on the local assembly, because here you have an opportunity of getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you. Amen. All right. And that's what we want to do. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the fellowshipping of yourself one with another. Why? Because it's good just to get around people? No, because iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. It gives you opportunity to know the people and to know their situation so that you can come and pray about it or give them a word of encouragement. Doesn't that make sense? Makes sense to me. You got to get to know them. And that's what God has us here in this local assembly for, to get to know people, to bring new people in, to have them born again, and to change their diapers. Bearing their burdens. That's what God wants. So after you have known the person and you get to understand what is going on in their life and the challenges they face and the failures maybe that they've had, the next thing is to do what you can do to help. Many people are agreeing with me, oh, yes, we should get to know people. Oh, yeah. And many people are even agreeing with me, yes, we should do what we can do to help. But are you? I'm asking you that. Some of you are. Please forgive me if I in any way am offending you because I'm saying that you're not doing all that you should do. We all can do better, and that's not the criteria I'm saying here. But I want some people that are not doing much of anything to begin to know that you're supposed to do what you know to do. Maybe they need physical help. Maybe they need a little thing done. You know, so many of the older people in this congregation that just need a window washed or something. I would pray to God that we constantly don't have to form a committee. Now we're going to go out and we're going to do this, but that people would have the motivation within their hearts to go out and lend a helping hand to someone that maybe needs something. There's people that need a physical hand. They need some help. They may need help financially. They may need help in some other way, some way. Next, doing this, again, I say to you, it's good to have a prayer journal or a prayer list or something that you pray about on a regular basis. Because then you can fulfill the injunction of Christ to so fulfill the law of Christ, to bear one another's burdens and begin to pray for them, as I mentioned earlier. Do it. Don't just say it's a good idea, but do it. Pray for them. Pray for that situation that God will enter in. Again, you've heard me say a few times now that I have no idea how our prayer penetrates into the very throne of grace, but I know that it's done through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I have faith that prayer achieves great things. And so if you know that someone is hurting, that needs something, begin to pray for them. You don't even have to tell them you're praying for them. Prayer, I love secret prayer. Begin to tell God in your prayer closet, and he will reveal it openly. Tell him what needs to be done. Again, as I said before, maybe it's a word of exhortation. If you see a person, obviously, Paul did this. He came back and he said, send these injunctions and encouragement, and the church in Jerusalem met and said, tell them to keep away from fornication, from things offered to idols, and from drinking of blood. So these people knew Christ, were born again, but some of them were in a state of confusion. And there are many people that need to be brought into a proper understanding of how to live the Christian life. Amen? No, you're starting to warm up a bit. Amen? All right. Amen? Okay. We all need direction and instructions on how to do. So a word of exhortation to them would be something that you would be bearing their burden of growing in Christ and supporting them, lastly, in a crisis. Some people have gone through some devastating things in this congregation. And when we have seen the Christian community gather around and encourage them or just to be there, that is what Christianity to me is all about. Yes, it's evangelism. Yes, it's winning to the Christ. But yes, it is bearing one another's burdens. And so these are the type of things that you need to do. And the other aspect of this prerequisite is to endure. To endure in your doing of what you know. Now you know what a person's situation is. Now you need to do it. And now you need to continue in that. Endure by putting it ahead of your own needs. At times, again, when that baby cries at night, you've got to get up and you've got to go there. Certainly, you'd like to sleep, but you got to get up. You got to do what needs to be done. There may be a weeping Christian, a crying Christian, a hurting Christian. You need to go to them in their hour of need, not wait till it's convenient. Amen. Amen. You need to sacrifice. I know that a parent knows what it is to sacrifice, especially a mother knows what it is to sacrifice for a child. And every Christian should know what it is to sacrifice for another Christian. We should not, people say, well, I have it so easy here. And I've said that myself. In America, we seem to have it easy, don't we? Compared to some of the persecuted church. But okay, since you have it easy, why don't you take what you've been blessed with and begin to bless somebody else? Take a little bit of your extra time. Take a little bit of your emotional soundness. Take a little bit of your finances. Take a little bit of whatever you can and begin to bless somebody that is in a difficult situation. Let me know. Let me tell you, there is a lot of people here that are in difficult situations. As I said before, whatever you're doing in this enduring, you do it as unto the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do as unto God and not unto man, knowing that the Lord you win the reward of the inheritance. That is the way we are to endure. And lastly in this, and this is sort of the coverall, and I don't mean it just to be that, but to be led by the Spirit. I mean, you could run around helping everybody and you not help your own family, but the Spirit will speak to your heart and he will as you are attentive, and the Spirit will guide you into all truth. And you can say, Lord God, I am feeling this burden in my heart. If this is from you, give me the wherewithal to act upon it. Yes, bring that before God, what your course of action should be. And so now in closing with this, because I know you're smelling the food from the other side. If you are not doing this and are not feeling to do it, if you could care less what anybody else is going through, it is evident that you are one of two things. You are evidently not walking in the Spirit of God, or you're not born again. If you find no compulsion to bear the burdens of others and to help in the Christian faith, it's a sure sign of this, that you are either not walking in the Spirit or that you are not born again. Now, as to not walking in the Spirit, if you are not helping others and bearing their burdens, you are not heeding the Scripture, because I pointed out to you, the Bible says in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens. Doesn't that sound like we're supposed to do that? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Doesn't that sound like I'm supposed to do that? Can I get an amen? Yes, brother. Amen. Yes, it sounds to me like that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And if you're not doing, what's your problem? All right. Just want to keep me on my toes. All right. So then maybe you are not in fellowship with other Christians. If you would just come waltzing in here, in and out, free as a bird, and say, oh, you know, I'm going to come up, I feel like it today. I'm not going to come up, I don't feel like it today. I got other things I'd rather do. And you just come in here, you stay for 5 minutes, you do the service, and you zip out the door, and you never get to know anybody. How are you going to bear their burden? How are you going to get to know them? How are you going to know their situation if you don't let the local assembly do what it's supposed to do of being a place where we assemble and we sharpen one another and we love one another as Christ gave us command? Of course, then you may be too lazy. I'm really stretching this, aren't I? I'm pushing it now. You may be too lazy to be concerned for another person. I'm supposed to do that. I don't feel like it. No. I don't want to do that. There's other people in that church. You know, I've seen other people sitting around not doing anything. Why should I help? See? And that's what you should do. Imagine if everybody sat around here and didn't do anything. You're not doing anything now, are you? But imagine, nothing would be done. And if somebody did that with it, oh, let her take care of the baby. Not only husband ever say that, would they? Years ago, husbands said that. They are not allowed to say that now. Huh, Michael? She kicks him out of bed. Go take care of the baby. But if everybody's too lazy to take care of the baby, what would happen to the baby? If everybody's too lazy to take care of the Christian, the new believer, what happens to the new believer? Why, you know what happens? They begin to flounder, or they begin to stray, or they begin to find the Jehovah Witnesses that are going to care for them. They're going to find a cult that will reach out to them. Everybody wants some love. Let's all go to Cheers, where everybody knows our name. Half the people I hear don't know the names of the other people in this congregation. Do you know the names of your children? The Bible said we're supposed to love that way. That's the way we're supposed to love. So don't give me the thought that you're doing your deal. You're not doing it. Wow. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little too aggressive here. Of course, I am holier than thou, aren't I? Obviously not. I fail in my own way in these same aspects because it's more contingent on me to be reaching out. I feel a compulsion to do that. Has anybody out there been too preoccupied with their own things to want to help somebody else? Let me see a hand of anybody, sinner. Oh, no. Raise that hand again. I want to see just who I can really get at. It's just this middle section mostly. The holier over on this side. All right. Of course, we get so involved in our own things that we fail to do the things for others. And I did see a funny commercial. Maybe I mentioned it. It was on my mind. You know, the woman comes into the house and she is just, you know, snot coming out of her nose, coughing, sneezing, needs to take. So she comes into the kitchen. She says, listen, I got to take a day off. The baby's over there. You got to take a day off. I can't be a mother today. Does a mother give up when she's sick? Does a father say, I'm not going to go to work anymore because I'm not just feeling it? No, you have to. That's what we have to do. We have to, as those that are born again, because so much has been given to us, the Bible says we have so that we can give. And that doesn't just mean finances. It means of yourself. You have so that you can give. So that's for those that are not walking in the Spirit. There's at least hope for you. But for those that are born again and striving today to do what I'm telling you to do, this is a reminder. Paul said about Timothy, I'm stirring you up by way of reminder. I'm reminding you what your responsibility is. And I want you to do this. You say, well, Ian, I really don't know. Well, begin to look for an opportunity. You know, how many guys out there just said, I'm going to wait for a girl to come along, you know, and you went out and played basketball. How many guys out there wanted to be able to meet a young lady? None. One guy raised his hand out there. I wanted to meet a young lady, and I was pursuing where young ladies were. Of course, I met my young lady at church, which is nothing wrong with that. That's the best place to meet them. But there is a pursuit in that, and there is a pursuit in also bearing one another's burdens. Now, I'm not going to say you should bear the burdens and somebody else should not be burdened, but you should have that kind of heart that is willing to do something at least sometime. You should bear another's burden. Look for an opportunity. And if you can't find an opportunity, make an opportunity. Go over to somebody and begin to bless them with whatever you can bless them. Read a scripture on Sunday morning and go over to somebody and say, I found a wonderful scripture today and I just want to share this with you. Just share it with them and just back them into a corner and say, for God so loved the world. You know, just tell them. Just get wide-eyed and tell them that God loves them. And God laid this in your heart to tell somebody, and you just happen to be my victim. Make an opportunity. I said I'm going to close, and I am, but I'm going to close with these few scriptures. The first ones I read, I just want you to get this in your mind. Galatians 6:1, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And when Christ said, a new commandment I give you. Let me just read that to you. That's in John 13:34. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, whoa, as I love you. Not this, this was even greater than love your neighbor as yourself, but love one another as I have loved you, that you also may love one another. And then I had been looking at Romans 15:1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And now I have just five more scriptures at the end here to read you. We know that we have passed from death to life. Listen to this. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Wow. We know that we've passed from death to life because we received Christ. No, it didn't say that. We know that we've passed from death to life because we don't sin anymore. No. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Of course, the reason we love the brethren is because we were first loved. The Bible says you love because you have been first loved by Christ. That's the only real love in the world. The love of Christ unto us and expressed through us. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. We are supposed to be those encouragers. Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. That means we're not just trying to just bring somebody down. We're trying to build them up. 1 John 3:23. And this is my commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And lastly, in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. My, who believes that we're supposed to love the brethren? Who here would say, I haven't done all that I should have done? Who here will make a difference today? I'm going to. I'm going to get to know you better. And so when we go to this meal today, it's not just to eat. It's to get to know somebody. One of the things we'd like to do is for you to go over and maybe introduce yourself to somebody you haven't met before. And I would also ask you to ask them this, and we haven't planned this out, but you could say to them, are there any situations in your life that I might pray for? And if they say no, you know, just say, well, then I'm just going to pray for you and throughout this week. And then take that upon yourself to begin to pray for them and to think about them. And if somebody says, yes, I'm going through a difficult time, then pray with them then and text them through the week or give them a call or do whatever can be done. Let's be a church that puts our Christian love to action. That's what God wants. Amen? Lord God, we give you praise this day, Lord God. And as